Rabbi, we're here in the 11th Perek. The last thing we spoke about is a person has to have the right attitude. It all depends on a person's approach, the way a person views himself. And we spoke about that a person that loses his money, as long as he still has the feeling that he's a wealthy person, even if he doesn't have money right now, so he's going to still be looking to make big deals. He's still trying to get his money back. It's going to bother him that he doesn't have the money. The moment a person comes to terms with the fact that he has no money, so then he lost the drive. He lost the desire, and he's not going to feel it anymore. And in order for a person to really want something, it has to bother him. It all depends on a person's approach, the way a person looks at himself. I remember when they were transcribing the court proceedings in Iraq, when they were trying Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shemoy v'Zichroy, so he would scream at the judge. You can't talk to me that way. I'm your ruler. You can't talk to me that way. It's like he still saw himself as being, you know, the ruler of the country. And it's like, buddy, you know, that's over. You know, you're done. You're finished. But he wasn't. In his mind, he was still, you know, commanding that type of respect. And it all depends on how you see yourself. The moment that you see yourself as someone who's not that important, so then it doesn't bother you, you're not doing important things. So here we are. We're on in the old printing daf kuftes. We're starting the paragraph. Kein kol atzmacha toli bashkafoscha. Tzadi gimel in the new printing. Kein kol atzmacha bashkafoscha taluya toli bashkafoscha mau yisrael. Everything depends on what you think it means to be Yisrael. Every one of us, we want to do at least the minimum. So what does it mean to be a Yisrael? What is your outlook? What is your opinion? What's your view? And what does it mean to be Yisrael? What do you have to reach? What is considered acceptable? And anything less than that is going to bother you if you do something that's not acceptable. You already know this, and we spoke about this. Even a poor person. He has turned his view, and now he looks at things like a pauper. Zoicher es ashrei, he remembers the fact that once he was rich. Umisborach lehis asher, he'd be very happy to be rich again. But right now, he's got the attitude of a poor person. Achkivon shirak b'machshavto yoidei azois. It's only in his thoughts. Ubeliboy kvar loy kavua. It's already not something that's like it's not something that's firm in his heart. In other words, he doesn't really, it doesn't pain him that he's poor. He already has a whole different look, view of himself. He's not going to be concerned, he's not going to work for it, he's not going to try to get back to his glory, to the way he was once in the good old days. He's done, he's finished, he's washed up, he's over. And he'll be lazy. Spoke about last week about someone that I know. He lost $100 million. $100 million. Today, I don't think he has food for Shabbos. He still goes out to eat in very, very fancy restaurants. I know I was talking to an owner of a restaurant. Tells me this guy goes a few times a week. He goes out to eat in a restaurant. Now, how do you do that if you don't have food for Shabbos? Because in his mind, the man's still worth $100 million. He'd rather just out his money right now. But he's still looking for big deals. He is combing the entire globe, literally, trying to get his money back. Because he's still, you know, he hasn't given up. So he's still a rich guy. Because, what do you mean? I still got to eat. He can't, like, scale back. Because once you do that, then you're not rich anymore. Then you're not the type of person that makes the type of deals. The moment that he stops living that lifestyle is the moment that he's not looking for the money anymore. Maybe he should stop, but he's not going to, because he still wants to be that rich. And if a person wants to do something, he's got to do something about it. And then it's going to bother him. If he would trade in his Lexus for a Renault Alliance or something like that, so then, you know, that's it. It's done. It's over. He is not a Richie anymore. It's like finished. He's retired. He's washed up. It's over. The glory days are done. Then he's going to stop looking for work. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, he's not going to make himself crazy. He's not going to, like, go to high-powered business deals and look to, like, you know, make $300 million contracts. Forget it. It's done. It's over. It's not me anymore. So it all depends on the way that a person acts, the way a person behaves, the way a person sees himself, the way a person treats himself. Are you seeing yourself as a person that is, like, big person, big success, whether it's big money or big mitzvahs, big Torah, or, you know, I'm okay with, you know, just getting by. That's what it depends on. Kein yidi'ascha b'daitecha bilvad loydai l'cha b'zeh. Every single one of us, we would love to be big tzaddik. Why not? You know, for sure. But that's all up here. The question is, are we doing anything about it? How are we treating ourselves? Are we treating ourselves like big? Hashem Amar, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, V'anochi tirgalti le'Ephraim, kochom al zroi oisaf. I have tirgalti is a lashon of regilus. I have made accustomed Ephraim. Kocham al zroisav, I want to take them in my arms. Ha'av ha'racham, the father, the compassionate father, mishtoikek, v'kachas is called Ish Yisrael. He's yearning to take every single one of us, al-yidei nevi'ov elov, through his nevi'im, close to him. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to bring every one of us close. Avol tzrichim lahargil es nefesh atoya, but you have to acclimate, you have to get accustomed, the nefesh that is toya, that is wandering, that is straying, and the son that's wandering there, he's like lost in all the gashmis of this world. You got to get him accustomed to go back to his father. You know, you got a kid who doesn't know what it means to the etiquette of the palace. You got to go to the palace. You got to know what it means to act like a prince. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to hold us on his lap. You know what it means to sit on the king's lap? You know, you got to act appropriately. You can't pull on the king's beard. You know, so a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us on his lap, but we have to get accustomed to what that means to be on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's lap. Lashuv lalechas el aviv, v'likpoitz el zroyosav, and to jump into his arms. Kaviyachol. This is obviously not meant literally, rather metaphorically. What's the other word? Figuratively. Va'anoichi Tirgalti le'Ephraim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am trying to get Ephraim accustomed. Kochom al zroisav. Hashem margil oisanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to acclimate us. Gam anu tzrichim lehargil es atzmeinu bazeh. We have to also get ourselves accustomed to these things. And I think that this is such a critical point. I'll give you an example. Just today I was talking to someone, and someone just donated a number of Jewish books, amongst them Jewish novels. So I was there with one of the Bachram, and I suggested to him to read this novel. And he says, oh, I can't stand these Jewish novels, you know. They got, you know, Shlomi came and he wanted to, like, kill someone, but it's time for my rib, so I had to go daven, you know. So I said to him, tell me, how many Jewish novels have you read in your life? None, right? Said yes, right. So you don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean, Shlomi? You never read a Jewish novel in your entire life. So what do you mean? What you mean to say is that you're not accustoming yourself to what this is. Maybe you're right, but maybe you're not. You've never really tried. Jewish music doesn't do it for me. Well, how much have you listened to Jewish music, really? Oh, come on, I've heard it. There's so many songs that we've all heard once or twice, like, okay, you don't really like it. And then you hear it a few times, and, you know, you start getting accustomed, you get used to it. It's the way everything is. That's the way everything is. I have a hard time believing that anyone, the first time they ate sushi, said, wow, this is delicious. I have a hard time believing that. It's just that, you know, it's the type of thing that you want to get into. So you got into it, and then after a while, people like it. But there's so many things that at the first glance doesn't look appealing to me. But we have to get ourselves accustomed to it. The things we have to get ourselves accustomed to. And a person has to be prepared to do that, to try to get himself acclimated with what it means to be living in the presence of the King. This idea of what a person gets used to is so important, and it is so powerful. I'll tell you a story which is in the other direction, which I heard from Rebellia Baruch Finkel. Rebellia Baruch Finkel was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. He passed away, I would have to surmise, something in the area of 7 years ago, six years ago, I would say. Someone that I was very close to personally. When he was sitting Shiva, so for his mother, so he told a story about his mother's father. He wrote a sefer called the Darkei David. He told a story about his mother's father, the following story. So this Rebbe Baruch is already not with us. So it's three generations back. It's, I would say probably 1950s, that area, something in that area. So he was walking in Yerushalayim. Well, I'll give you the conclusion of the story is the Darkei David never went on the street on Shabbos. He never walked in the street. He only walked in the alleys. This Rebbe Baruch was saying at the Shiva. Someone else said that, what do you mean? I remember he came to visit my grandmother when she was in Amana. He used to come very late at night. He said, yeah, he used to go after, you know, everyone else was sleeping, then he'd walk on the street. He would never walk on the street when there was still activity. The reason was the following thing. One time the Darkei David was walking, and he saw a chiloni, someone who was not religious, driving on Shabbos. And it was the first time he saw someone drive on Shabbos. And he couldn't believe it. He fainted. He fainted on the spot. And they had to call the hospital. He lost it. Anyway, he spent 3 days in the hospital and eventually got back to himself. And another Friday, he was walking on the street. Friday night, and he saw Chiloni driving on Shabbos, and his body started to shiver, but he didn't faint. And he said to himself, I've already become accustomed, desensitized to Chil Shabbos, that it doesn't bother me as much as it used to. I have to keep my sensitivities. Therefore, he accepted upon himself not to walk in the street on Shabbos. Shouldn't walk by any streets where Chas v'Shalom someone was driving, in order not to desensitize himself. Because a person becomes accustomed to something, and then it's okay, and it doesn't hurt me anymore the way it used to. That's okay. That's acceptable. People do that. Ramat HaShvab, who was called the Tzaddik of Mansi, was Mashkiach when I was a Bacher in Yeshiva. So he came to Eretz Yisrael once and he saw a Yid driving on Shabbos. Ramat HaShvab said, Oy vey, pikuach nefesh. He saw another Yid driving on Shabbos. Oy vey, pikuach nefesh. Every time he saw a Yid driving on Shabbos, the person next to him said, come on, du bist a kluger, you're a smart person. This is not, you know, what's going on over here? Matcha didn't want to see Chil Shabbos. He had to find a way that, or else he's going to get desensitized. So he tells himself, it was Chil Shabbos. It was Pikuach Nefesh. It wasn't Chil. It was Pikuach Nefesh. But we get desensitized by things very, very quickly. That happens. And a person has to realize that if we have sensitivity, then it bothers us. If we don't have sensitivity, then it doesn't. You know, I used to live in Mal Dafna, and next to where I lived, there was a yeshiva for boys at risk. It was a rowdy bunch, and they lived literally next door. There was just an apartment right next door. So now this was the original Kesher, which ended up evolving into becoming Kesher. I was apartment 13, they were apartment 14. So every once in a while we had to bang on the walls, you know, to keep them down. But they were like a very friendly bunch overall. And the person who was in charge of the program asked me, can I give a chumashir, you know, once a week for 15 minutes, which was a very humbling experience. Because, you know, here I was a Rebbe in the Meir Shiva, and I, you know, Baruch Hashem, got a lot of respect. These boys didn't really know exactly what respect means. Usually 15 minutes, it was around 13 minutes till they all like said, okay, could you let the rabbi speak? Come on, guys, like, let the rabbi speak. I had like 2 minutes at the end. I sat there as they like screamed at each other about everything and anything, and, you know, curses that were flying out of their mouths. And I was just sitting there just like dumbstruck, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And they're like chasing me, what'd you say about my mother? Your mother? Like this. And I was like, oh my goodness gracious. Anyway, after a while, I found myself when I stubbed my toe, like thinking wrong words, like I was like, oh my, what? Where's that coming from? Where? And I, you know, because, you know, you hang out with these boys, and then all of a sudden, this is the way that we talk, and this is like normal, and this is like regular. You become desensitized to things, and things become okay. And it doesn't bother you anymore. If a person wants to be bothered by something, he has to make sure to put himself in the right climate and expose himself to the right things. You know, it was around 17 years ago, that the Israeli Prime Minister was assassinated by another Yid, shot in cold blood by another Yid. And everyone was up in arms. You know how terrible that is? Do you know when they established this country, and it was established by secular people, they thought it very important we should have jails. The jails were empty. For months, there was no one in jail because Jewish people they're not aggressive. Jewish people don't do crime. They're just not that type. So they had all these jails with no one in them. And we got to the point where to inflict fatal harm to a person is already considered acceptable. And we expose ourselves to these things. You know, there was a lot of activity in Yerushalayim a few nights ago. They had these big hafganas, right? A lot of people. It's Tutzach Lebedik. It's exciting. And you see Yidden plummeling other Yidden, beating them. You see aggression. And a person watches that, he becomes desensitized. You realize what's happening? Klal Yisrael is being torn to shreds. The Shechina is crying. And we're sitting there enjoying it. It's like a boxing match. Boxing matches for like an Italian and a Schwarza. That's okay. But the two Yidden are here, they're beating each other, and we're watching this. We should be crying. We should be on the floor crying about this. It's such a terrible thing. Machloikas is ravaging Klal Yisrael. It's destroying us. And we're okay. Because we're out like for the fun of it. Let's go like check it out. This is like exciting. Let's take a look. We become desensitized to things that are totally unacceptable. And a person has to maintain sensitivity. How do you do that? A person does that by putting himself in the right environment. You know, in this week's parasha, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef was mamish, he was a gevalt, Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik, he's Tzadik Yisoid Oilo. He's one of the Shpizim. He's huge. And he's got this shiksa, and she keeps trying to like seducing him. Day after day after day, Eishes Potiphar is after him, and he keeps saying no. But you know something? He gets desensitized. And Yosef HaTzadik, on that day, the Medrash says, was ready to succumb to her advances. He was going to give in. He didn't want to do it. Not when he started. and he was going to give in. Because all of us get desensitized. Doesn't make a difference how big of a tzaddik you are. You hang around, you know, nivul peh, then you become desensitized to nivul peh. You hang around chil Shabbos, you become desensitized to chil Shabbos. It's no big deal. You hang around people that are looking for znus, and that's what happens. Yosef was ready to do it. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him an image of his father that shocked him. Like, what happened to me? And then the pasuk says he ran out. He ran. What's he running for? He left his clothing there. You understand that, you know, she's got the evidence with her now. He's leaving with the evidence. Just, why didn't he go? He's much stronger than her. And grab back your garment and leave. He said, I can't stay here another minute because I'm already way over desensitized. I got to get out of here. This is not for me. This is not a place for me. It's not people for me to be around. And he left. And Chazal tell us that his tremendous schar, that moment, it was a moment where he broke away. He burnt his bridges. He said, no, that's it, no. She was talking to him day after day after day. And it's like, I can't do this, it's not right to your husband, it's not, no, it's not appropriate, it's not this. But he was, but he never put his foot down until this moment. And that's it. And he turned his back, and he never walked back in. And that's something that we have to make sure, to keep our sensitivities. And a person has sensitivities, then it bothers him. It bothers him. Why am I not doing this? I have expectations of myself. I realize I should be better than that. We all know in our mind. But that's something that's like, it's just too detached. It's detached from our heart. It's in our heart is when we're sensitive to it. A person has to feel for himself, what do I expect of myself? So what do I associate with? Who do I associate with? And then I see, is it acceptable? A person wants to, he wants to become someone big, someone important. I'm not talking about in finance. I'm talking about someone who's accomplished something in his life. So he looks at important people. What is an expectation of that person? What is the behavior of that person? And says, that's what I want to be. So if I do anything less than that, so then I'm failing. What is the bare minimum to be what I think I have to become? And a person realizes that. So then he says, you know, a person wants to become something, so let's look at what a person has to do. Emor me'ata. Let's see. She'emunascha ba'ashem lo tia temuna. Your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be something that's just hidden, that's buried, u'misuteres b'cha, and it's somewhere underneath all of the rubble inside of you. Rak brura v'chazoka. It's got to be clear and it's got to be strong. Zohar al tishkach. You have to remember, don't forget for a second. He's zohar v'hasneid bazeh. You have to be consistent in this point. Sherashamnu l'cha la'el perektes. What is this point? Shekama pa'amim bayom. Numerous, multiple times during the day. Tachshoy she'Hashem yisparach malei kol ha'aretz kvoidoy. You have to think numerous times in the day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filling the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presently in this room. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with us. When we go to our dorm room, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. When we're in the bathroom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. When we're in the shower, we're on the court. Anywhere we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in the entire world. And He's watching us always. V'tamid ata nimtza lefanav. You're always standing in front of Him. In front of Yisparach. U'bifrat. B'shois ha'pnuyos. Toisiv lachshav zois. And b'frat, when a person has downtime, he's got spare time, he has open time. Shos pnuyos is, but it's not during his regular regiment. He has a break. A person should be thinking during that break about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'loma lecha. L'havel u'lechabel esmoichacha. Why are you doing damage? Why are you... Chabel is like mechabel, is like a terrorist, terrorizing your brain. Vishtusim, the stupidity. We fill our brain with so much stupidity. Why are we doing that to ourselves? And a person does that, so he's losing his sensitivity. Understand, if a person will be thinking all the time about how important Shabbos is and working on Shabbos, and every day he's trying to build up for Shabbos, and he's trying to like prepare for Shabbos, and Shabbos is like so important to him, and he's talking about Shabbos, if he would do something wrong on Shabbos, it would really bother him. You know, my father's Rebbe was Rav Shabbos Soloveitchik. He was a Shiva, and she was Yitzchak Elchanan. So when he passed away, they said by his yotz, by his levaya, by the shloshim. So one time he leaned against a wall and accidentally turned on a light, and he fainted. That's not even a shogig, by the way. It's called a mesasik. That's not even chayav a karban. Nothing. That's like putter totally. He fainted. He was in shock. Because Shabbos meant a lot to him. He was constantly thinking about Shabbos. He always had Shabbos on his mind. We don't think about it. I mean, every once in a while, we're thinking about video games, we're thinking about sports, we're thinking about clothing, we're thinking about all different types of halavai, we're thinking about only those things. We're thinking about all different types of shtusim that are terrorizing our brain. Our brain is riddled with all different type of garbage. So your person is losing his opportunity to build up sensitivity, to build up feeling towards something. You want to develop a relationship. A person knows someone's a nice person. I know he's a nice guy. So do you have a relationship with him? No. Just because you know he's a nice guy? But I know he's a nice guy, so why should I spend time with him? Well, if you spend time with him, you build a relationship. And you care about him. If you know he's a very nice guy, and you know that he, you know, died of a heart attack. But if it was a person you're very close with, then it would be very painful. But I know he's a nice guy either way. He's a really nice guy. He was the nicest guy. Doesn't mean anything. Just knowing something, a person has to develop a relationship. That takes time. So we want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want a relationship with Shabbos. We want a relationship with davening. So many times people tell me, I don't know, I just don't feel it. Like, of course you don't feel it, because you never put in the time to make a relationship. A person has to invest time. We're too busy with all our other stupidities. Is there anything wrong with them? No. But we still are not doing anything constructive. And therefore, we haven't built a relationship. A relationship with davening, a relationship with learning, a relationship with anything that has to do with, including a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many of us have actually taken the time to have a relationship? You know, davening, we're supposed to like be speaking to Hashem. It's like a relationship. Hi Hashem, I'm doing good today. Hi Hashem, thank you for waking me up. Hi Hashem, can you help me have a good day? That's a relationship. We're always so busy because we're coming late, so we got to catch up to the Shliach Tzibur. We're running. It's not a conversation. You can't have a conversation. How are you? It's not going to anybody. You want to build a relationship, it has to be, a person has to invest energy and time. And that's what it's all about. That's everything. A person wants to, you know, I would love to be able to, you know, not have, you know, enjoy reading things that weren't, you know, didn't have all different types of disgusting things in it. I would love to, but this is, what can I do? I need to relax. So if a person would invest time in it, then he'll be able to establish a relationship with those things. There are beautiful books, beautiful stories of Gedolim, they're gorgeous. And I was a young boy, so I never even opened one of them. Until finally, I realized, you know, I said, hey, you know, I got to do something on my downtime. I said, wow, the book about Rav Moshe, I cried when I read that book. Rav Moshe Feinstein was like, it's unbelievable, an American guttle to read the book about Rav Moshe. You literally cry when you read the book about how awesome of a person this was. You read the book about Rav Shlomo Freifeld. You read short stories. There's so many things we can read. We just never really, you know, and I remember there's a bacher, he's already married, Baruch Hashem, who told me, I don't like reading Gedolim books. It's the same story. How many have you read? None. I said, of course. Well, you don't like them. You never even try. Try one. How hard is it? You see, maybe you do like it. Maybe you develop an appreciation for it. And then we have a connection to our Gedolim. Then we relate to them. We have a connection to the Torah. It's all about building a relationship. That's what we have to do. So the person wants to feel. He wants to feel connected to his davening. There's only one way to do it. You've got to be in it. You've got to be there. You have to spend the time. And then the relationship comes. He wants to have a relationship with his learning. He's got to put some extra time in. We learn. Do we chazer? How many times did we chazer? How many times have we done it? I've done the first blat in Bava Metzia for sure over 200 times. I'm positive. Maybe over 500 times. because every time I do Shachar Torah with people, it's always the first blot in Bav Metzia. Doing it over and over and over again. Already this man, I've probably done it close to 100 times. So many people, I did it already. You did it already. What is, like, you know, what does that mean? You did it already. I said hello to someone already. I mean, you know, you want to get to know them a little bit. Spend some time with them. You know, get to know Bava Metzia. Let's get to know it a little bit. You spend time with it, so then we'll appreciate it more. We'll appreciate, we'll enjoy it. We'll actually start enjoying it. Hopefully we'll be able to reach the Darga. David HaMelech said, Tov li Torah Aspicha Me'al Feizav HaKesef. He was a loaded David HaMelech. He had everything. He was rich. He had money. He had fame. He had beautiful women. He had everything. And every all it was, all he wanted was the Torah. Tov li Torah Aspicha. It's the most important thing. Because that was the most real. You should be zeichet to reach that Madrega.